but so important, it's in this place. We sing that song and we tend to think about this place, but it's in this place is what it's really in. Actually, close that back door for me. 1 Samuel, I want to read just a few scriptures and just kind of expound on what God has put on my heart tonight about moving forward. It's very easy for us to get stuck in the mud. It's very easy for us to get discouraged and stop moving forward. But we'll read a scripture that I think is very relevant to even today. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is when Saul was king and he wasn't going to be king anymore. Samuel 15:24. Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray, pardon my sin. Turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with you, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected you from being king over Israel." Sometimes God closes the door, and that's okay. We've got to learn that when he closes that door, there's a reason for that, and not to keep trying to push that door back open, not to keep trying to go back through that same door. If God has closed it, that means there's another one he's wanting to open, which means that we wouldn't go anywhere forward if we didn't first close that one to make us go forward. So it's important we recognize that just because a door's been closed doesn't mean that God is not working or moving. In fact, it's the very opposite. You know, there's times, Gail was talking to me back here before when he was eating and said something, and, you know, we're talking about something, and I had something I was going to tell him back, but then I got distracted and didn't. But he was talking about how sometimes God takes you through places. And what came to me, Gail, when you said that back there, that God takes us through places, what came in my spirit was to take us to places. Sometimes we got to go through places to get to places. And we don't always like that journey. We don't always like that. Saul wanted to still be king. He said, you know, "Forgive me," but God closed that door. Verse 27, "And as Samuel turned to go away, he laid upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, 'The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine, that is better than thou.'" That's some pretty harsh words, isn't it? "I've rented away from you, and I'm giving it to someone else." God was moving forward with his plan as well. If you study the lineage of Christ, as we know, it came through who the next king would be after this. It came through David. God saw a shepherd boy in a field. He had no stature. He had no glory. He had no position. He had even no earthly right to become the next king whatsoever. He had many brethren ahead of him in line for that. And as Samuel said, "Jesse, bring me your sons," he didn't even think enough to call David. And all the sons appear before Samuel, the prophet. And Samuel said, none of these boys are the one God has. Is there somebody that's missing? Have you sent me everybody? "Well, I got that one, but you know, you don't want him. It's just David. Go get him." And the moment David showed up in front of Samuel, Samuel said, "That's the one. That's the door that I'm opening. This is the man that's going to take Israel forward to the next season." Sometimes we're sad when seasons close and we stay in such regret and disappointment because that season is over that we miss all the opportunities that God has waiting on us in the next season. Don't get stuck where you're at. Don't think that what you've been is what you always will be. God wants us to move forward to the next place he has waiting on us. And a new year is a perfect time to do that because it's a natural earthly marker of a beginning of time. to say, on January 1, I'm going to start this journey. Well, on January 1 this year, let's start this journey. God, I'm ready to move forward. I'm tired, and this message to me is very personal because I've had things in my life this year, and Melanie will testify amen over and over again, that have held me in a place of paralysis. Best way not to put it, where I can't seem to move forward because I'm always back here trying to refigure what happened or worried about what's going to happen instead of just saying, I'm going to enjoy this day in which the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I'm not going to be sorrowful about what I could have done, what I should have done, what I wish would have happened, because none of that changes a thing. It just keeps us bound to the same old mess that we wake up with, carried on our shoulders, and we carry it around day after day and month after month, and here a year later, we're still carrying it. And what do we miss out on? What opportunities are we missing because we can't let go of what was? The point is, what was, it's not what is. And so we got to embrace that. And with every new day, the Bible says, I think in Lamentations, that you know, every morning is new. Every morning, every day is new. His mercies are new every day. Every day we have a chance to walk in something very special that God has for us. And we can't let past regrets, we can't let past failures, we can't let the fear of the future, we can't let current circumstances hold us into a place of not moving because we're scared. Church, we got to say, God, open that door. I may not understand it, but I'll take the first step, trusting you're going to ordain my steps and lead me into the place you want me to go. Melanie has a funny expression, and don't anybody get offended. It's not sacrilegious, it's just who she is. She's honest. We all feel this way. We're just too scared to say it, some of us. Melanie ain't scared to say it. Sometimes something happens in our life, and Melanie look at me. She go, you know what? God's got some splaining to do. God's got some splaining to do about this, because I don't understand it. It don't make no sense. I don't think it's right. He's got some explaining to do. I think we've all been there. To say, you know what? What happens when good people go through hard things? But then we're reminded, right? Only one good person. And that was Jesus. So we realize that every day, His mercy is what holds us. His mercy is what keeps us. His grace is what covers us. And Saul had been rejected. Now, next chapter, verse 16 and 1. That's all I'm reading. That's all scripture I'm reading tonight. Well, I'm going to react to another one that's not up there. 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, and this is the question I want to put before you in 2016. How long will you mourn for Saul? How long will you mourn or hang on to what's got you bound? How long are you going to keep that idol puffed up so high that it's bigger than God? Or that problem so big that you don't see God, you see Goliath? How long are you going to hang on to something that's keeping you completely captive? How long? Because I've closed that door. The problem is we keep going back and reopening it over and over and over. We keep reopening it. We keep peeking in. We keep trying to go back and pull something out that's not even there because God's closed it. It's like a crime scene. He's taped it off. He's X'd it off. Do not enter. You can't touch this. But we keep going back. And as long as we keep going back, we can't go forward. There's so much opportunity God has waiting on us. We all have regrets. We all have worries. We all have things we wish we'd done different. But we can't go back and change one thing we did. All we can do is say, Lord, help me today to be what you want me to be today. And I'll trust that. And when I wake up tomorrow, I'll ask for the same thing, God. Give me what I need again today for what I need today. How long will you mourn for Saul? He goes on to say this, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. You know what God's saying? Samuel, get over it. I've spoken. Saul's done. His season is over. He's gone. But it doesn't mean Israel's been forsaken and my covenant's been stopped. It means it's part of this season ending so the new season can be birthed inside of you. I'm not going to leave Israel abandoned. I've got a plan. I don't close a door and leave you hopeless and helpless, but I close a door to bring you into something better that I have prepared for you. I'm not going to leave you abandoned. You're not an orphan. You're not going to be lonely and without help. I've got a plan. Look at what he said. Saul's over. I rejected him. Fill thy horn with oil and go. Oh my gosh. Rise up from the ashes you've been in and take your rightful place as a child of the living God. Take your rightful place. We've let the enemy steal our joy, steal our strength, steal our peace, steal our hope. The Bible says he's a thief that cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We must begin to live that abundant life again. And the only way we live it is to get out of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. And get out of the fact and walk in the faith. And to get out of what we've been in and walk into what God wants to put us in. And experience that new season God has. God changed a lot of people's seasons in the Bible. He changed a lot of people's direction on a dime. He told Abraham, get out of your country, get out of your land. I'm going to show you something. What if Abraham had not listened? The lineage, the heritage, the promise, the covenant would have all been for naught. But he said, the Bible says in Genesis, he did what God said. He did accordingly. He obeyed. Get out of what you're in so I can take you to something better. We don't like leaving what we're in because we're comfortable with what we're in. This is why there's so much division among churches and denominations because, well, I don't never raise my hand. Well, raise your hand. It ain't hard. Well, I ain't never danced. Well, dance. I see you dance on Saturday night. Well, I don't ever see everybody in church say amen. Really? But you scream at a ball game? Just because we hadn't done it, don't mean we keep not doing it. It's time that we say, God, what you want for me in this season is my desire. And I don't have to understand it all to walk in it all. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So I don't have to see it. I just got to believe it. I just got to believe it. I mean, Disney World copied God. You know, feel the magic. Believe in the magic. Believe in the dreams. And your dreams come true. Believe in God. The dreams you have in Him, He will bring to fruition in your life. Your desires and your goals, God will honor that if you're in His plan, where He wants you to be. Go fill your horn up. Go see Jesse. For God have provided myself a king. In other words, Saul was king, and I ordained that, yes, but he's not anymore. But I've got another king I'm going to raise up. I'm moving forward with my covenant plan. For David shall be part of the lineage that Christ would come from. And in order for that to happen, Saul's door had to be closed and David's had to be opened. King David, the most unqualified of Jesse's sons, became the greatest king of Israel. This verse isn't up here, but the same chapter, if you look, if you've got your Bible, verse 7 says this. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or of the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man, For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. In other words, God don't see you like we see us. See, God doesn't see, as Gail was so beautifully sharing earlier to all of us, God, not that Gail was this person, but God doesn't see the stubborn or the broken or the sinful or the rebellious Gale. When God looks upon Gale, he sees the weeping prophet. He sees the heart that cries out for a living God. This is what made David so special. I mean, man, David did a lot of bad things. David committed adultery and lied and murdered and cheated and, you know, he got arrogant and proud and began to count his army. He did so many things that went against God. But God kept saying, he's a man after my heart. I'm not seeing David for his failures. I'm seeing David as being forgiven. God doesn't see us as we see ourselves. And we look at others and say, they couldn't do that because of their education, their background, how they look, how old they are. God says, it don't matter. I'm going to use who I want to use. And you can't stop that. We need to move forward and quit allowing whatever's got you down this year, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever the battle is you're battling, I'm not going to carry that in the new year. I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to say, I'm tired of mourning. And church, I'm tired of mourning in my own life. I'm very transparent. I'm probably too transparent. I'm not one of these pastors that bring probably a lot of respect. It's not who I am. I'm just me. But I'm tired of mourning for my personal situation when I know that me and Melanie did the best we could with what we had in the moments we had it. Was there mistakes made? Of course there was. And of course I'm talking about my family. But you know what? I can't go back and change or fix anything or redo anything. It is what it is. And I'm going to feel my horn this year. And I'm going to go forth. You know the old gospel song. If you don't want to go, I'm going anyway. Daddy don't want to go, I'm going anyway. Mama don't want to go, brother don't want to go, child don't want to go, I'm going anyway. We got to get that mentality. I'm going anyway. I know what I believe. I know who I serve. I know where I'm heading. I know who belongs and who lives in me and who I belong to. So I'm going to fill my horn with gladness again. And get my joy, and get my hope, and get my swag back. We used to, you know, I heard Gale's talk, what he said. He's been through a hard year, and Grandma's been through a hard year, and Loretta's been through a hard year, and Melon's been through a hard year, and Connie's been through a hard year, and all the things that we have been through, and Peyton's been through a hard year, yes, and Brandon, and Marjorie, been through a hard year. And those hard times, if we're not careful, if our eyes aren't fixed on the Lord, can pull us so down. The Bible says the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. We lose that joy, church, we lose our strength. Because the world's not a very pretty place without God. It's a world full of violence and hate and evil and darkness and sin. But when you're in the Lord, everything looks a little brighter, a little different, a little better, because you know who you belong to. Moving forward requires that we let go of what we're holding on to. Sounds so simple. It sounds so simple, but it's one of the hardest things to do is to let it go. For some reason, in our human thinking, we think that we can fix everything. And then if we do finally figure out the right formula solution, it'll work out. Sometimes God is saying what we see on some bumper stickers on the back of cars, back off. See them bumper stickers, back off. Don't follow me too close. God's saying, back off. I've got this. The energy that I feel like I have exerted in the past 2 to 3 years of my life, especially, I'm exhausted and I'm tired. And I'm tired of being exhausted. I'm tired of being tired. And I'm tired of being stressed. And I'm tired of being worried. And I'm tired of being overwhelmed. And I'm tired of laying in bed at night wondering if I'm going to get a phone call. I'm tired of that. Tired of it. And I know Melly's tired of it. Because I drag her to my world. Because she's my soulmate. And you, Ashley. Yes, I do. My wife and my daughter, they see me at my worst. Most of y'all see me at my best. So if that tells you anything, that's your best. I know. But I'm tired. And I'm tired of feeling so overloaded. But I don't blame God, I blame me. Because I've allowed the devil to pack my mule full. I've allowed him to stockpile me to such a degree, I just keep letting him throw it on without really even resisting. Because I'm tired. Melanie is tired. And I'm ready for this year, for our lives, to be a year again of jubilee. They had a year of jubilee every 7 years in the old covenant. Every 7 years, all the debts of the people will be forgiven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And there's a celebration. Celebration, a jubilee year. Every 7 years, we're entering 2017. Seven is a very important number scripturally. It means many, several things. Seven's my favorite number. It's not because it's the number of Las Vegas or whatever. I just always like seven. And I'm believing this is going to be a year of jubilee for us, church. To where we get our strength and our hope and our peace back. We can't fix every problem. That's why God says, cast your burden upon me, for I careth for you. Give it to me. Once again, so easy. Oh, yeah. We say we give it to God, but then every time we go to someone's house, we run to them at Walmart and we ask how they're doing. What do we hear? The same story we heard 3 years ago. Like a real tape. Have we really given it to God? I wrote my planner. I was looking back this year. I wrote my planner back one, I don't know the exact date, but I looked back. I told Melanie, if something happens to me, I got all my planners from since the church started. 2002, I buy a planner and I write all my stuff in it. Stuff I do at the church, appointments, people I see, special personal events in my life. Christian graduating college, you know, Jamie moving out of the house, Ashley starting high school. I write all this stuff down in my planner. So I say, if you need to know, you know, a eulogy for my life, go get my planner and start digging them out. It's all in there. I come across where I wrote in there this year. I believe it was back in March, April. I don't remember. Somewhere first part of the year. I said, I have given my son to God. I wrote down, I've given Jamie to God this day. Well, I thought I had. Wrong! I meant at the time I had a spiritual moment, Gail. You know, we had them Holy Ghost moments, you know, we're on fire, and then 3 days later, we're like, I'm cold again. Where'd the fire go? And so this year, I've determined, and with a little help from Jamie himself, he's helped push us to that point, but I'm like, you know what? It's in your hands. He sat in these chairs for 8 years of his life. Right where Ashley and Christian sat, he sat in this chair. He heard the word of God. He's seen his mom and dad trust the Lord for all their situations. He didn't always see the Sunday mom and dad. No, he didn't. He didn't see the Pastor James, y'all see, loving and hugging you. It's going to be all right, baby. God loves you, you know. He's seen the daddy side. But he saw love. And so I've determined for my life that this is going to be a year that I truly am just going to step aside. He's 20 years old now. Somehow that psychologically gives me more of a... He's 20. It sounds like old. He's 20 years old. I can't do anything more. And I'm just going to say, Lord, he's in your hands. My son, for all the things he's done, church, I don't have time to divulge tonight. And I wouldn't divulge everything anyway, but... There's times he should have been dead. He has been in so many situations he should have been dead. And so I look at that and I realize that he's alive for a reason and a purpose. because the places he's been and the people he has traveled with and the things he has done, he could have been gone. But I'm like, you know, he's not. So God, you got him. So I'm going to trust you. This is the year I'm going to trust you because I want to keep my wife this year. So I got to quit talking about it all the time. I got another daughter. Right. I've got a daughter I've got to focus on. She starts high school and I want her to have my full attention. I know she wants my full attention. Yeah. So she needs my full attention. And maybe you have a situation like that you've been carrying that you need to lay down this year. And so you know what? I'm not going to continue to worry about it. We are missing out on so much life. So much quality of life. When every waking moment is consumed by worry and doubt and stress and anxiety, you're not living. You're just existing. I want that abundant life Jesus talked about. I want to have life more abundantly here and in the hereafter. Life more abundantly. I want to dance again. I want to hear his voice in a way that I've not maybe heard the way I want to this year because of so much stuff that I've allowed to pile up and pile up. And I'm tired. I'm so tired when I see other people's problems and I try to be there and I'm drowning in my own. It's hard. So I'm ready to give it up. So you know what, God? Take these burdens off so I can be this year what you want me to be. So I can be free. Move forward. As this year comes to an end, we need to lay it down and say, God, when I walk out of this building tonight, I just want to be different. I want to feel different. I want to think different. I want to feel a release. I'm tired of mourning for something that you said you got handled. He told Samuel, Saul's gone. But your job's not done. Go fill up your horn, because guess what? I got another king waiting. I'm not going to leave you without a king. There's another young boy waiting on that oil to touch his head to begin his destiny. Destinies can't begin if we're stuck back here. Destinies can't be birthed if we're stuck in a place that we don't move forward. Each season is a birthing process, and it's a painful process. Think about a woman in labor, how painful the birthing process is. When fall comes, the leaves begin to turn, you know, brown and gold, and they're dying. And then wintertime, it's barren. Just barren and dead looking. Oh, but about March, something begins to happen. The buds begin to burst again. The grass starts to get a little bit greener. Flowers begin to pop up. The air begins to warm up a little bit. The sky even begins to change. And you know something's happening. Spring's coming back. We don't stay in winter, thank God. But there's spring that comes forth. We don't stay in the same season our whole life. God has evolving seasons for us. But we got to trust Him enough to move with it and let go of what we so desperately try to hang on to. Jesus said in one place when disciples, He said, come follow me. And they said, Lord, I will, but first let me go bury my dad. Let me bury my mom. Let me go tell my family goodbye. And people think, well, that sounds reasonable. He's not talking about literally going and saying, hey, bye, mom, I'm leaving in 10 minutes. They were talking about hanging around until they passed off the earth. Give me 20 years, I'll follow you, Lord. My mom's sick, she'll probably be around another 10 years, then I'll come follow you. Let me take care of that. And remember what Jesus said? Let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. There are situations that are dead that God has said, it's over, it's done, it's closed, but you're still carrying it. And that death becomes you. You take on that death. You are consumed by that death. You represent and look like that death because you're carrying it around. Why are we walking in death when God has called us to life? And I want my wife to be happy this year. I want her joy to be restored. I want her joy to be restored. That she's not unhappy and miserable. That's not how any Christian should be. Sometimes the devil can paint a very broad picture. And we forget to look up and say, where does my help come from? Lord, it comes from you. Gail was very honest when he spoke a while ago, and even the back there, he told me, so, you know, he said, going through things this year, and that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was, you know, me acknowledging that something here had to be changed, you know, or that I had to look at things in a different way. That's the hardest part sometimes, isn't it? I'm the first to admit I could do a lot of things a lot better. I'm just a vessel of clay. As I talked about Wednesday night, Jeremiah, I'm just the clay and he's the potter. Lord, take this clay. Take it. And mold me. And shape me. And use me. And the thing I love about that scripture is where it says that the potter formed something on the wheel and didn't like it. But he didn't disregard the clay. He didn't throw it away. He took the same clay that he didn't like and reshaped it into an image that was pleasing to the potter. Was you here Wednesday night, Gail? You were, weren't you? You was here Wednesday night, wasn't you? Wednesday night? You weren't here, okay. I talked about the clay and something the Lord revealed to me for the first time in that lesson of the potter was, of course, God's the potter, we know. Clay's us. But something he revealed to me a little different. Me and Gail, we have these talks sometimes one-on-one, so it's nice. So I'm going to bounce this off of you. He revealed to me the very first time that the wheel was the Holy Spirit, because the wheel's what did the work. And that Holy Spirit, if we let the Holy Spirit do the work, let the Holy Spirit mold the clay. Let the Holy Spirit shape us, use us. In whatever way, we will be changed. But the flesh gets in the way. This year, let the Holy Spirit shape you to become what you need to become. So we can move out of this funk we're in. People are so overwhelmed. They're so discouraged. I mean, we have seen this year how many people well-known have died, how many celebrities have passed away, and how many of our own families we've lost, how many have been sick. It's discouraging sometimes. It mounts up on you sometimes. But I'm reminded, I can't stay buried by that. As in the great movie Annie, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar, the sun will come out in the morning. Sorrow lasts for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. The morning's here for some of us, church. The morning is here. Let's go from this morning of Saul to the joy of the Lord. Saul's gone. Saul's over. We can't go back and redo things of the past. It's finished. So God, give me hope and peace and strength to keep going forward and to march on. Y'all make your way up here. I know it's only 10 till, but go ahead and start making your way up here if you would. Thank you. I need someone to, after you get your cell phone clock, you got it running. When it gets down about a minute or so, let me know. We'll do a countdown here at the very end together. As we're at this altar, church, we are here together to bring in the new year. 2017. Make room, guys. Everybody get up here. Spread on out. Thank you. It's a brand new year. This place is here for one purpose. God did it. Period. God did this. This was not my dream. This was God's doing. Even though I did have a fake banana in my grandma's house, a little boy in her living room, preaching to teddy bears and stuffed animals, I knew I would one day preach, but this wasn't my plan. Nobody would plan this good. I had it right by. Would Nobody would want this. So, it's God. And so this place was prayed over. It was dedicated for the Lord's service. I was in the back of them woods many times when they were building this place. I got a picture of me and Grandma and Grandpa and Melanie and Ashley. Or Ashley, I think. Sitting on that branch when they were cutting down trees. Remember that? We were sitting on a branch. Got a picture of all of us together right here. Well, right here. And they were timbering this land. Wasn't even a pad poured. Wasn't nothing here. Had me a chair in the back of the woods. I go back there and I pray. I didn't know what I was going to, didn't know what, how it was going to turn out, what was going to happen. I just prayed, Lord, use me. Let it be a place of hope and change for people's lives. And so I want to tell you, the ones that are here, and there's very few of the church body here tonight, but I do ask that you pray for me this coming year. Pray for me. I get discouraged. When people leave the church and they don't support you, they don't talk to you, it's very discouraging. When you give your life and heart to sit with someone for hours and hours and they just walk away from you, I can't take what that's like. And I'm a big boy, so I just get up the next day and I keep going. But it hurts. So pray for me, because this year I want to see new faces. New people walk in this building and feel the Holy Spirit. Not to be entertained, but to feel the Holy Spirit that'll transform them. Go ahead and sing a song. Let's sing this together for a minute before the new year comes. Just worship Him. Words on the screen. At this altar, basking in His glory. That part one more time. Here we are one more time. One more time we're in His glory. One more time we're bringing the new year together. 15 years we've done this. 2002 was our first New Year's Eve service of the Living Word. And now we're entering 2017. 15 New Years we brought in together in this church. 15 years of our lives we've been at this altar bringing and basking in His glory. And I'm so thankful that we have this one more time. We don't know what next year holds, but I sure know this, that right now we are here in His glory. Right now we are here in His presence. Right now we are here basking one more time. Glory to God. And I don't mean to get loud. That wasn't me. I promise that wasn't me. Glory. We are here now. Don't worry about next year. Worry about right now. God, I'm here now. I'm getting to enter 2017. So many people haven't entered that. My grandpa's not entered a new year on the earth in, what, 6 years, right? Be 7 in February. Grandma's had 6 more years to bask in His glory here on the earth. 6 more years to praise God in the land of the living. 6 more years. It's a gift. It's a blessing. We don't deserve it. He don't owe it to us. But we're here and we have it. And I'm thankful. Let's sing it again. We've got 4 minutes. I want you to grab the person's hand beside you as she's singing. And I want you to pray for the person you're holding hand. Pray for them. Go ahead and sing it, Marguerite. Pray for the person you're holding hand. You don't know what you're going to pray for 2017. Pray for them for deliverance, healing, whatever they need. Pray for them that this is the year of blessing, favor, prosperity, joy, peace, deliverance. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for one another that God will break through the stuff that's holding us back, that we can lay it down and walk out of here free. Savior. I want to speak over this church and over you tonight. May the favor and the blessing of the Lord rise like a tide in the lives of these people. Let your blessings be so overwhelming, so earth-shattering, that they can't even contain it. Let their cup runneth over as you pour into their lives. As we let go of this year and we empty our cup, we hold it up empty now before you, that you will fill it with all of your glory, all of your power, all of your mercy, all of your grace, all of your strength, all of your joy, all of your peace in 2017, that we will be filled this year in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. The Lord is good. Praise you, Jesus. We are in a brand new year, and we thank you, God, that we have crossed a threshold and we are breathing and alive to see 2017, the year of our Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for life. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you. This will be the year of blessing and favor being poured out upon your people. A year of overflow. A year of deliverance where our cup will be filled again as we let go of the junk and leave it here. And we now have crossed that, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Let's pray.